Good morning, everybody. It's great to be in your presence. I love being around the prophetic, and this church is flowing in the prophetic. Now, when we think about that, how do we see? Well, it says we see by faith. Faith by hearing the word of God. So actually, when we see prophetically, what we're doing is we're hearing from God. So if that's the case, we are always going to hear it before we see it in the natural. We will always hear it before we see it in the natural. So when people have been bringing words today and sharing things, there's an, if you like, an obligation to step into that, to start to work that out in God and pray through that and ask God, what are you actually saying? Where are you moving? What are we doing? Where are we going? And then as you start to listen to God and you step forward, now you may only see it in part. It's kind of like that. Have you seen that game where you, and then somebody tries to kind of guide you to a seat? I mean, I could do it as a demonstration, but I won't, for health and safety. I'd get somebody up here and I could guide them down. We only see things in part, and we move when God speaks. But as we move when God speaks and we listen, we then begin to see it start to manifest in the natural. We will always hear it before we see it. So the question today is, what is God saying to you? We've already had strong words about laying things down, about moving into a new season. What is God saying to you right now? What is the whisper in your heart? What is it that you're longing to see? Faith comes by hearing. What is God saying? I come from a family of a Christian family. My mum and dad were Assemblies of God pioneer, worked in what was Home Missions at the time. Is that still a thing? No? When did that go out? Long time. Showing my age. Wow! Home Missions. So my dad, basically, he would go around, plant a church, make it kind of fairly successful, then sort of leave it to another minister to come, and then we'd move on. So a lot of my early years were spent in different places around the place. And my mum would share stories. Obviously, you know, we're fairly young, sort of at the time, but she would share stories of us having to be in the back of churches where there's no heating because there wasn't a house, and they'd be on the bed, and if you opened the bed, the door, then you could see the congregation having a Bible study with my dad and stuff like that. So my kind of upbringing is one of definitely seeing God do amazing things in impossible situations. So when we got people that would say, prophesy over us, and they say, oh, you know, the Lord has said this, he's going to bring this, he's going to do that, we had to, like, as a family, believe God in faith that things would happen and cause. There was a time, speaking of miracles, there was a time when we, again, in that similar situation, we had no money, and there was a fairy liquid bottle, and there was like probably that much in it, and we're going, we can't even afford fairy liquid. But somebody had said to us through hearing and the eyes of faith, and they said, God will be your provider. He's going to make sure that you're okay. Now, most people might go, do you know what that means? I'm going to be rich, fantastic, got somebody coming our way. But I tell you what, that little fairy liquid bottle lasted for over 7 months. The provision of God. Somebody heard it, and then we began to see it in the natural. I can think of a time when there was a washing machine issue. God said, he's going to provide, he's going to be amazing. Oh, we're going to. And then the very next day, washing machine turns up. God is a faithful God. Absolutely faithful. But his timings are our timings. Sometimes it's there. Other times we have to tally. Other times we have to wait. Other times we have to build up. But God is faithful to complete everything that he wants to do in you and through you. So I grew up in this miraculous kind of environment of seeing the things of God firsthand. There'd be times we'd be around the piano as a family and we'd work our emotions out in the family around the piano, and we'd sing songs. I don't know, I mean, it depends how far back you are. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Anyone know that one? Oh, good, we've got a few in there. Or he poured in the oil and the wine. Going right through the songs of fellowship there. Or, bind us together, Lord, a classic, all these songs. But do you know what? They were the songs that we had, and they're still, believe me, they are still relevant today. But they were what we were able to latch onto to be able to speak some of the truths of God into our lives. And I think somewhere, this is an aside for you, sometimes when we sing some of the songs that we sing today, we have to look, I mean, really look for scripture reference and go, oh yeah, I know, I can sing that. I understand that. But back in the day, there were some dodgy words too. But a lot of the time, you could go, oh, I knew exactly where that was coming from. I knew where, you know, and can it be that I, all those amazing, amazing songs. Grew up around knowing the presence and power of God in our lives. But as a lot of church kids might say, I don't think it's you know, not here, amazing. But I felt really disconnected with my dad, because there was a lot of expectation on him, and because of the expectation on him, there was a lot of expectation on me. So as four boys, there was no way on this earth that we could disbehave in church. No. If I'd pick my nose, I'd tell you. And then, you know, Aunt Edith would come up to my dad and he would say, what, your son's not the dad? All this kind of stuff that was carried on. There was a massive expectation. And one of the things that I worked really hard with my kids with being in leadership and what we're doing is that actually they don't kind of see some of that kind of stuff that may or may not take place, and try and protect them from that and actually not let that be a hindrance to them coming to know Christ. And so for me, what that did for me was that took me away for a considerable period. Didn't take me away from church, because I had to be at church. Mum and Dad were there. So I was still there going, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, singing on a Sunday morning. And then on the week when I was back in school, I was doing things that I shouldn't be doing with people I shouldn't be doing it with. And God sees the inside. This is a classic task force here. He goes, God sees on the inside. You may have a faith, but he sees on the inside, and it's true. We all come to church with a face on, and the inside story may be something completely different. And I lived that lie for so many of my school years, where I would be like, oh, hallelujah. Everybody go, oh, it's amazing. What a wonderful Christian. But inside, there was massive, massive turmoil, massive bitterness, massive kind of, I really don't like church because it's done this to me. And I remember, in my last year of high school, I was up to doing real, real dodgy stuff that I won't go into. And it came to a crisis point where I had to go one of two ways. And I was out walking, and I remember, and I just said, having experienced all of the things that God had done firsthand in our family, and this was the word that I actually used. And when I think back now, I go, yeah, but I said, God, if you're real, I knew he was real. I'd seen what he'd done. But I said, God, if you're real, I need you to come in and I need you to do something in my heart that's going to help me and sustain me. Sorry for all the things that I did. And on that hill, I gave my heart to Jesus. But the story didn't stop there. Because now you go, oh, great, he's a Christian. It's all going to be rosy again. It's all going to be amazing. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be awesome. I walked into school being the brash evangelist that I thought I now was. And I said to all the gang of lads that we used to do sort of stuff to, and I said, guys, I can't run with you anymore. I can't do what you're doing. And they go, well, why is that then? And you go, well, because I'm a Christian, mate. You know, God's done something great in my life. Expecting them all to kneel before the prophet that is me. and then do everything that I say and lead the whole school to Christ. Well, I got the biggest kicking ever. Absolutely pounded. But here's the thing. When you know something's real and God's done something in your heart, that then becomes a compass. That then becomes a compass. And there's two worlds of reality, if you like. So we're living in a fallen world. That's why I got my head kicked in. But we're also living in a world where the reality is that God is still on the throne. And God is still real. And God is still mighty. And God is still awesome. And God is still sustaining. And actually, the thing that you focus on will be the thing that determines how you respond. It would be the thing that determines how you live your life. So I could have focused on the kicking, or I could focus on God. And I choose to focus on God because that was the reality that was in my life, that was working it out for my good. And I went from, this is the way I describe it, I went from driving in a Mini way of life, really low, to driving in a Land Rover up. So we were still living the same life, but we had a completely different perspective. And I even think in this room today, there's some people that need to kind of change and shift their focus. When we're talking about stuff that we're laying down, it might be the realities of this world that are pulling us away, and we need to lay that down and focus on the reality of who God is in our lives, and then change our perspective on things, and then we will respond to situations differently. Many times in my life, I've experienced where I've made decisions, and because I've responded to what the world's reality is rather than to what God's reality is, it's all kind of gone wrong. Which reality are you focused on? What is God saying to you right now? What is He whispering? What do you need to lay down? Where do you need to go? What do you need to do? Who do you need to speak to? What decision do you need to make in your work? What decision did you make at home? What's the decision on relationships that you have? What is God saying? So I left school having experienced that and then went into agricultural college of all places. And from agricultural college, Task Force 2000, so I did some sort of work and then went into Task Force 2000, which is an organization that you may or may not have heard of. If you've not heard of Home Missions, then you probably won't have heard of Task Force. But it was because it was part of Home Missions, wasn't it? Part of Home Missions. So we would go around different churches and we would do evangelistic events. I've been known to paint a few churches as well. Strim a few gardens, you know, all that kind of stuff. But was a real training ground for what was going to be my ministry as worship leading. Because we were in Scunthorpe, because that's where we're based. And this ministry isn't what I would have chosen. It's not like being a career choice, like, oh, you know what? I'm going to be a musician. That's going to be great. It just hasn't been. It's just been what God has done in my life. And I was washing my hands in the church toilets, as you do, sort of singing away and sort of like playing. And then Paul Morley, who was the leader at the time, with 30 seconds, he just literally went, "Oh, I didn't know you could sing, didn't know you could play. Come and lead to worship." So within 30 seconds of that conversation, I was then on platform with my three chords, leading worship for the very first time, not knowing at all what to do or what to say or how to respond. Saw some amazing things in God move through those situations. And that was where I was kind of birthed into the ministry that I am, where I'm traveling around and I'm sort of helping people do conferences and church training and all those kind of wonderful things that God allows me to do. But there's another generation that's coming up. I've got kids. Well, man child and lady child really now. I think you saw Ella, actually. I think Ella came one time. She's now at university. But here's the thing. With all the stuff that I went through as a family, it's amazing what cycles round. And Ella would say she's seen amazing things that God has done in our family. Because one of the things that we do as a family, and I'm sure you do as you as well, Gareth, and other members around here, is that we celebrate all that God has done in our lives. We name it. We audibly speak it. We say, do you know what God did today? He did this. He did that. Because when we audibly say it, and when something good happens and we tell somebody, it kind of seals it in our heart and in our life and in our mind, and it kind of brings an accountability to what we're living. But Ella's in university, studying forensic criminology. Whatever that is. Something to do with ology. Isaac is at he's at college, and they're both doing incredibly well. And we celebrated 25 years of marriage this year. Yeah. Yeah. And I went on a holiday this year for the first time without children in 21 years. That's an even bigger. Yeah. With hot tub. Yay! Absolutely fantastic. But what I love to speak about, and this is where I'm going to kind of finish really with the thing, because we're talking about generational stuff and speaking over our lives and what we need to lay down. Don't despise the young people and the children and what they can do in God. If they capture something, they could be awesome. I've had times, I think I shared a couple of Christmases ago here about Ella when she was here, how when she was growing up, she would be on stage with me and some things were kicking off and a bit of manifestations and all sorts were going on, and she was only a young little dot and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a bit of a dodgy situation talking about this when we get home. And we're in the car and I'm like going, so then, babe, how did that feel, thinking I was going to get like this kind of real weird response. And she says, oh, I feel weird. I went, yeah. What does that mean? And she goes, good weird. I was like, oh, whew, like that. The next time we were on the platform and something else happened, she walked over to me and she just went, winked at me and went, I feel weird again, and then walked off. Now, why do I say that? Because there was an understanding that there was a move of something. There was a spirit. It wasn't incomplete understanding by any stretch of the imagination, but there was an understanding there that God was moving. And in very, you know, our kids, in a very pure sense, in a pure way, they pick up on moves of God, I think, probably quicker than we do as grown-ups. And they may not understand it, but they know that something is happening. And so she's now 18 at university. She's got an understanding of the Holy Spirit. She's leading worship in the CU. She's leading worship in the church that she's joined there. And she's flying and she's seeing great things, from small generations. So from me being at the piano with my mum, working through, to then the next generation, my daughter coming through. And so you can see how God is faithful for your family. And in your family, even if you're a new Christian, believe me, generationally, as you go on, you will begin to see the amazing thing that God has done. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, you could probably come and take the microphone off me and tell me all the amazing things that God has done generationally for you. So we're a generational church. By that I mean age. All over the place, all in harmony, all in one, all serving the one true God. But what is God saying? What is God saying? Father, I pray in some of the ramblings that something of you would have dropped. that you would have inspired people for greater things in you. I pray that throughout today that your name would be lifted high and that your glory would be coming to you from your people. I pray as we work in this season and as we begin to lay the things down, Lord, that I believe that you've spoken about today, and we are accountable to that decision and we step forward in that decision, that Lord, actually, as we stated, that the things that you are whispering, the things that you are communicating, we will see come into the physical. So for new jobs, for promotions, for health changes, for broken relationships to be restored, for people to come in and have an encounter with you in this place. Father, we want to say we love you. We say we honor you in this place. We say you're lovely, you're amazing, you're kind. And because of that, we want to follow you. We want to serve you. We want to give you praise. We want to worship you. We want to lay our lives at your feet. You are enough. You're more than enough. So you're not just enough, you're more than enough. That right there just blows my mind. More than enough. I mean, enough's enough, isn't it? But more than enough. That's just next level. Father, I bless these people. I honor these people in your house. I pray that you would protect them. You protect their thoughts, their hearts, their minds, their conversations. Protect their families, their workplaces. Lord, as they go from this place and as we continue for a few more moments of worship, I pray that, Lord, that you would be lifted high and that, Father God, your name will be held in high honor in this place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Shall we stand?